Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, is away on a ministry venture, but in his place, we are fortunate today to be discussing, I think, an exciting topic with two guest hosts, who are regular guest hosts on the program, Evangelist Kevin Brownfield and Dr. Marty Vaughn. Good to have both of you men back on the broadcast.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Kevin, you've been in evangelism for
about 20 years. In the ministry for about 20, 27, almost 28 years.
And Marty, I didn't mean to cut you off a minute ago, but how long have you been doing this?
Well, we've been doing this for about 37 years or so. So it's been a great, fun venture. But our topic today also gets us to the reality that we do miss our coffee-drinking co-host, Dr. Ola, but we'll have to get him in when he gets back from his ministry days.
Right. We're going to actually be looking at a portion of Scripture out of Ephesians chapter 6 today.
Yes.
That describes life in terms that we don't normally think about, but that certainly God lays out for us. And the imagery in the New Testament of the Christian life is full of images that present this as the normal, everyday experience that God expects us to live by. And that passage is in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10 and going all the way down through verse 20, where it talks about life, really, as a Christian, is being a good soldier and warring a good warfare for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Kevin, maybe you could just introduce that for us.
You know, it's interesting. Paul has really an affinity for using different terminologies. He often likens the Christian life to an athletic contest.
Mm-hmm.
And we know about the Olympian and Athenian Games. And if you've ever been to the Olympic Center in Colorado Springs, you know that those guys aren't about, you know, ease and luxury. Their whole life is regimented, and it's really a difficult lifestyle. Well, Paul also uses these pictures that you just talked about of military conflict. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I really do think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of the Christian life because they think when they get saved that it's going to be, I think you used the term as we were kind of discussing these things, zippity-doo-dah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Christians, you know, it's like everything's going to be wonderful and it's going to be great.
Mr. Bluebird's going to be chirping away on my shoulder.
But the truth is, when I got saved, I found new depths of misery that I didn't even know existed.
Well, Marty, I think you and I have talked about this before with people that once you get saved, oftentimes it gets worse in terms of what goes on in your life relationally than better.
It gets worse before it gets better. First of all, when a person comes to know Christ, I think there's such a release of the guilt and the debt of sin, and the person feels so free and exhilarated.
He's born again.
Those first days of the new birth seems to be just a wonderful new life of ecstasy. And we see the picture of this as Jesus freed people from their burdens in the gospel, and where he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." But when he closes each of the gospels, when the gospels come to a closure, he says, "Go and preach this message and give it to all men, teaching them to be my disciples." And a disciple is a disciplined one. And sometimes the reason that misery comes in is it's only when we come to know Christ do we really see a true picture of ourselves. And as Kevin said, while we're forgiven, there's the misery of seeing that Paul described in Romans, "Oh, wretched man that I am." In other words, oh, now I can see clearly. I like the thought of realizing before I'm saved, Satan has blinded our minds lest we should see the glorious light of the gospel. Now when the blinders are taken off, I can see myself for who I really am. Mm-hmm. And now, whoa, wait a minute. I have all of these issues that now need to be dealt with, and that's why we're talking about warfare.
And I think the other part of that picture is that Jesus talked about that the normative experience for his church would be that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And we typically think that that means that we're a fortress and we're huddling up behind the fortress and keeping everything in the fortress, all the uniforms need to be creased, and nothing unclean can come in the fortress because it's got to be a safe place. When in actuality, the imagery is exactly the opposite. If it's an army, highly trained, in constant communication with headquarters through prayer, thoroughly armed with instruments of righteousness that cannot be overcome, literally, that are suitable for the pulling down of strongholds,
yes,
going and literally assaulting the devil in his kingdom and in his terrain.
And that's what I don't want to attach my little tiny caboose onto Dr. Vaughn's huge train there. Not only is it the awareness that I have these great needs, but there is a second understanding that I also now have a physical enemy, the wicked one himself and his demonic hordes, whose only goal in my life is to derail my testimony, to destroy, to keep me from ever being effective in the kingdom of God in Christ. And so it's not only all the interpersonal struggles I have in growing, it's also having that enemy now who is going to be attacking and, as the imagery says in a little while, throwing darts at me constantly.
Yeah. Well, it's the imagery that Doc O has talked to all of us about many, many times, and that is of being in the world, but not of the world, and sent to the world so that the gospel can go forward unhindered. And in the middle of that, we're supposed to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of all of the attacks of Satan, I mean, the idea that the church or the Christian life is supposed to be the safe place is nowhere in the New Testament, but it's everywhere in the American church today.
And that's a sad note that we're dealing with, because even as I talk to this younger generation, I don't know what you gentlemen have sensed there, but when I talk to our teenagers across this country, when I talk to sometimes the young professionals across this country, and I try to talk to them about the Christian life in terms of warfare, in terms of military terms, it seems like unless your family is a family where you have a soldier, you don't want to be any part of that. There's kind of an aversion.
Yeah.
There's kind of an aversion to those military terms of, oh, you know, doesn't disciple mean that I can just love God and worship Him passionately? And isn't this just like, okay, a free ride and it's all going to work out because I can just kind of sit back in the seat and God's in control and everything's going to happen and it's going to eventually work out all right. And we don't like our human relationship.
Military guys get it.
That's exactly right.
It's the idea that my life is going to be easy and, you know, I'm going to still get to go to the mall and do all the fun stuff.
And then you got guys out there that have gone and suffered and been in the military, and some of them, like your son-in-law, have gone over to Iraq and they paid this price. And they're going, no, you need to know something, that it isn't easy, and it's not supposed to be easy.
And the bottom line, I think, of what we're trying to say here is a lot of people are in the middle of the conflict, but they don't have any armor on. And
yeah, they don't even know that they're in the army.
Exactly.
They thought they joined a recreation league. Brother, it's a battlefield, not a recreation room.
That's exactly right. And when my son-in-law showed up in Iraq, he didn't show up with a suit on. He didn't show up with, you know, video games and all those kind of things. He showed up with armor. He showed up with weapons because it's very real. It became very real to him at that point that he wasn't in a time of luxury and ease. He was in a time of battle, and he's looking around constantly wondering where the enemy is going to attack.
You know, here's an illustration, I think, that kind of will put all of what you guys are saying. If a guy is being talked to by a recruiter, he is going to be looking at the military in terms of what the military can do for him.
Right.
Join the army. You'll get this and this and this, and this is what will happen, and it'll be great, and you'll see the world.
You'll become army strong.
You're going to do. All right. So if you only listen to the recruiter, you're going to walk away thinking, you know what? I want to sign up because I want all the stuff. But the general doesn't think that way.
No.
You know, the drill sergeant's not thinking about what the army can do for you. He's thinking about what you're supposed to be doing for the army.
As a soldier.
Exactly. As a soldier. And here's what I think has happened to a lot of evangelical Christians, particularly in evangelical America. We've pretty much looked at Christianity as what it can do for us. Hey, get saved. It'll make your marriage better. Get saved. It'll make your life better.
Exactly.
Get saved. You know what? It'll help you raise better kids. Go to church. It'll get you a better job. You know, I mean, we really have become a consumer-oriented culture of Christians when the New Testament is like, join us and lay down your life to die.
That's
right. Don't hold on to your life. You know, if you're going to love your kids more than you love God, or you're going to love your wife more than you love God, or love your job more than you love God, you're not ready to be my disciple. And that's not God saying, you know, I want you to hate your kids and I want you to hate your wife. It's simply saying, you know what, if you join this band of people that are in this cosmic conflict, it's going to cost you.
I was just with an Army recruiter at a summer grill out here about a month ago, And he was very disturbed by the exact illustration that you're using, because he said some of the recruiting orders that have come down now have said, promise these young people their college funding and all of that. And all of that is wonderful.
I agree. But that's not why you sign up.
Right. I think that our veterans deserve all of these benefits and more. And he agrees. He said, as a recruiter, I just have a hard time doing that. He said, I don't have a hard time telling them what the wonderful benefits are going to be. He said, but I've been there. As a helicopter pilot, I've been there. I know what the reality looks like. I know what I'm facing. And he says, we have to face this reality. And I think that ties together. See if this doesn't tie it together too, guys, because we want and we love freedom. We would love to see people around this globe be free. Well, the only way people around this globe can be free is if they're free in their heart. And that freedom comes from knowing Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest liberating force known to mankind. But freedom always has a price. The price of freedom for us was the death of God's Son on the cross. And so anytime we have a freedom in our heart, there's going to be a responsibility. There's going to be a cost to us, and that's what we have to help people understand.
Well, even in history, as we've seen the phrase, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And there's been a great cost that has been paid throughout the history of genuine believing people in giving their lives to the gospel, because it is a war.
I hope that you'll join us for our next broadcast as we begin our series on Life is a War. I know that what you men are going to say to us from the Word of God is going to be extremely valuable. We want to thank you for listening to the Word for Life radio broadcast and for being so faithful to remember us before the Lord. And we want to let you, our listener, know about something that is coming up here on September 29th. We will be hosting a praise and pie fellowship for all the listeners in our area at the Brookside Baptist Church, beginning at 7 on the 29th of September and running to 9 p.m. This is a free event, and we would encourage you to come or to bring a friend with you and have an opportunity to meet Dr. Olala and myself and enjoy just a night of inspiration, fellowship, and encouragement. We'll be enjoying some pie and some coffee and giving you an opportunity to learn more about the ministry of the Word for Life radio broadcasts. We also want to put something in your hand that will give you an opportunity to remember the ministry regularly before the Lord. This is on September 29th from 7 to 9 at Brookside Baptist Church, located at 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin. If you have questions or would plan to attend, would you let us know by calling 262-783-6180 or visit thewordforlife.org for more information. We'll look forward to seeing you then.